More on the abortion debate now. Joining us is Slate writer Will Salatin. He's the author of a recent book on the politics of abortion. It's called Bearing Right, How Conservatives Won the Abortion War. The revised edition of it is just out in paperback. Will, welcome back to Day to Day.
Hi, Alex.
What about this provision in this huge federal spending bill? How important is this, this kind of hospitals don't have to talk about abortions anymore?
Well, I kind of think this is a continuation of a very shrewd strategy by Right to Life groups and the administration to try to work against abortion access, but to do it within a framework that looks like it is friendly to the idea of choice. That is, you still could choose to have an abortion if you went to a different provider from the one that chooses on its own not to provide them to people in general. So what the administration position and the Right to Life position is on this issue is, we're not taking away anyone's right to get an abortion in general. We're simply allowing providers to choose not to provide abortions and not to be punished by states or the federal government for making that decision.
How important would that be in terms of access to abortion on the part of women who might want one?
Well, it depends entirely on how many providers choose not to provide abortions. And of course, the next step would be if the Right to Life groups can put this decision entirely in the hands of providers and get the state out of the business of telling them what to do, then presumably the Right to Life groups can go to work on the providers themselves, threatening boycotts, writing letters, any kind of campaign that will get, say, an insurance company to decide, you know what, we're getting too much heat from the Right to Life groups, so we're going to stop covering abortions.
Well, Will, this latest measure has been passed by the current Congress. The next Congress, which comes into office in January, is likely going to be more conservative, more Republicans elected. What are the anti-abortion groups planning? Do they have a plan to take legislation forward?
Yeah, they have a couple of items on the agenda, both of which are modeled on very ideas that have worked very well for them in the past, that poll pretty well. One is called the Child Custody Protection Act. It's an extension of an idea of parental consent, that minors have to get their parents' approval to get abortions. What this bill would basically do is make it illegal for you to take your neighbor's daughter across state lines to allow her to get an abortion in a state that doesn't require parental consent. So that's one idea. The other idea they have is something called the Unborn Child Pain Awareness Act, and it basically tells doctors that they have to inform women of the pain their fetus might suffer in an abortion and to offer them anesthesia. And this is modeled on the idea of informed consent. You know, every patient is entitled to know what a procedure might do to them or to the fetus and choose their treatment. The problem with this bill is, if you actually read it, it's quite an amazing thing. The relevant clause says, an abortion provider shall make the following oral statement to the pregnant woman. And then it goes on for literally almost 200 words, prescribing exactly the words that Congress has decided each doctor has to say to each woman. A couple of these sentences begin, the Congress of the United States has determined, Congress finds. So my suspicion is this bill could get the pro-lifers in a lot of trouble, because it basically looks like a bunch of not very well-informed congressmen telling doctors what they have to tell each woman.
I do wonder about the politics of this, however one comes down on the question of abortion. It has not been a political winner for the right over the last 30 years, though you do write that that has been changing. I just wonder, how far can the anti-abortion groups go before this just turns into a disaster for them?
Yeah, you know, that is human nature. That's the course of history, right? We get an advantage in politics and we push it until we create a backlash and basically commit political suicide. You can argue that that is exactly what happened to the pro-life movement and to the Republican Party in Ronald Reagan's second term. They started getting cocky. They got more and more Supreme Court appointments. Pretty soon they got a couple of Supreme Court decisions that really scared the dickens out of a lot of voters who were vaguely pro-choice, but hadn't voted on the issue. They didn't come out and vote against Republicans until they thought the basic right to abortion was under attack. I think we're in danger of that happening again, the pro-life movement awakening a lot of voters who are vaguely pro-choice by going after Roe v. Wade, by getting a couple of Supreme Court appointments, and then the politics of this issue would change considerably, and suddenly you would have Republican politicians running from this issue the way they did in the late 1980s and early 1990s.
Opinion and analysis from Will Salatin. He writes the Human Nature column for Slate. Will, thanks.
Thank you, Alex.